listened to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. Going to be a good year, this one. I just know it. I don't know about you, but I'm expectant. And I just know that more than we hope or dream of, the God we serve is wanting to go above and beyond our wildest dreams. And He's a God of the more than enough. He's the God of the too much. He's the God of over the top. Scripture says that all over and over again. As we seek Him and as we follow Him, I love what John 14 verse 12 says, one of my favorite verses. And I think it's up there. Jesus speaking to His disciples. And Jesus did some pretty amazing things in His time on earth. And He says to His disciples, He says, the works that I do, these same works, and even greater works than these, you will do, because I go to my Father. And that's an incredible promise that Jesus has held before us, that the same things which He did, the same anointing, the authority with which He walked around, you and I are meant to walk in that same dimension. I'm just having a stirring in my heart that God's bringing us to that place that He's beginning to reveal. And over December, for those of you who didn't have the privilege of being here, those of you who were banished to the uttermost ends of the nation, there where you're close to the periphery and the water and you're almost stepping off the side of the nation. I understand that some people have to go there from time to time and get very red in the process and things like that. But those who weren't with us, I want to encourage you to get the messages over this December period. It's weird how God works in that. It's often exactly in those times where many of us aren't here that He almost speaks the most clearly in terms of just prophetic direction as to where we're going and where we're headed. So I really want to encourage you to get those messages. And we took a bit of time and we spoke about the inheritance that God has for us. Not profaning that inheritance, not taking that inheritance lightly. Scripture speaks about Esau who despised an inheritance, and God calls him a profane person because of that. That He has an inheritance for us that we're meant to embrace, an inheritance that we're meant to take hold of and really press on into and fight for and contend for. Part of that inheritance is the blessing of Abraham. And the blessing of Abraham more than anything else was that God said to Abraham, Abraham, in you all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. And I honestly believe that for us, not only as an individual, not only as a church or church group or church family, but as in us as Christians, in us as believers, the rest of the world is meant to look at us and say, we are better off because of you. That all the nations of the earth are meant to be blessed because of our being here. Sounds like an arrogant thing to say, except that God said it, so it's not arrogant, it's just the truth. That you and I are God's gift to this earth. That God wants to release us as a gift, but we need to understand and embrace that before we can run in that, before we can walk in that. And we spent a bit of time talking about that. We also spoke a little bit about the fact that part of the inheritance that God has for us, and each one of these are sort of different messages and kind of expanded on quite a lot, just recapping very quickly. Part of the inheritance that God definitely has for us that we see throughout Scripture is an inheritance of authority. An inheritance that where you and I as believers, if the world is meant to be blessed in us and through us, that God is wanting to give us an authority to with which and by which to bless the nation. So much so that He says to His disciples in Matthew 16, He says, I give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. God gives them some serious authority. He says, guys, I'm giving you keys with which to open and to shut, keys with which to unlock. I shared this in that message that I've just had the privilege of moving into a new house, part privilege, part curse, still figuring out a little bit. The work never stops. For those of you who don't have your own house yet, you'll realize this. It's a perpetual work in motion. DIY becomes compulsory, non-optional. The moment you buy the house, you buy the DIY package as well. My dad said to me many years ago, he said, it's an important life lesson that When you move into your house, never ever let a tool come onto your house. And he wasn't talking about a person, but never, never let tools come into your house. And if you do, make sure it's somebody else's tools. My dad says this, having two containers full of tools, that he learned the hard way. And I learned the hard way now because I've let my own tools onto my own property and now the work never stops. But anyway, part of the joy of moving into the new house is we went to this one cupboard in the kitchen because the real estate agent gives you a key to the front door. That's kind of what they give you. You walk into the house and you open the cupboard and there's a cupboard full of keys. And part of the fun the first couple of days is figuring out which keys open what. I've got this bunch of keys, and some of them look the same, and some of them look different, and you go to every door, and you find out, and you find a match the key. And I believe that God's bringing us to this place where he's wanting us to begin to match the keys that he has given us, the doors that are closed that need to be opened, and the doors that are open that need to be closed. And for every one of us, God has given us different keys to the kingdom of heaven, different places and with which to exercise and where which we are meant to be exercising authority. And God's wanting us to embrace that and begin to walk into that. And I ask those of you who were here, and I want to ask the rest of you to start praying with us and say, God, show us the keys we have. Because as we sit here today, we've got a bunch of keys that many of us don't even know about. We've forgotten about the key up in the cupboard. Or we've just never put two and two together that this key opens this door. I know I've got this key and I know I'm facing this door, but we just haven't put the two and two together. God's given us a key of the kingdom of heaven. And in front of us is a door that needs to be opened, a door through which we need to go, either as an individual or as the people of God. We need to be going, pursuing the kingdom of God, and there are doors and obstacles in the way. And God says, I've already given you the key. There are other areas where God's going to say to us, I'm giving you a key to shut, to close, to lock. That there's been an open entrance to ungodliness and unrighteousness, and you as the people of God, you need to start closing those doors. And in December, we spoke about that a little bit one day as well, and I asked you to pray with us, and I'm going to ask you to continue to pray with us. And tomorrow evening, at First Monday Prayer, and remember, we've renamed it. It's now First Monday Prayer and Fasting. So join us tomorrow evening at 6:30, and we're going to pray through some of these keys a little bit and some of the doors we are facing in the ministry in the next while. But as amazing and as incredible as all of that stuff is that God has for us, and we're going to have a really, really cool year. I want us just at the start of the year to turn to Matthew chapter 22. If you don't have Bibles with us, don't worry. You can read off the screen. But I'd like to pray before we read the word. Lord, we thank you this afternoon that we can come together in that wonderful name of Jesus Christ. That as we come together, that as we sang, God, we desire to know no one else except Jesus Christ and him. Lord, we pray that you set that fire inside of us. We understand, God, that every fire needs fuel. Lord, that your word would be fuel to the fire of the Spirit inside of us. And we pray, God, that through your word, even this afternoon, as your word always does, that it will shape and form us, Lord. We don't want to leave here the same, God. We want to leave different. We want to leave, Lord, more like Jesus, conformed to the image of your Son. Lord, we pray that you would cause us not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And right now, we bring our minds before you. We bring our spirits before you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you breathe over us by the power of God. Change us, transform us, and make this word alive inside of every one of us. And Lord, I declare just again, Lord, that I don't depend on any of my own ability, Lord. But I look only to the power of your Spirit, God, to breathe life over these words in Jesus. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, he had a hard time with a whole bunch of the religious folk of the day. And some of the religious folk of the day come to him, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And one of them, a lawyer, a man who was schooled in the law. He wasn't like today's modern day lawyers. My dad's a lawyer, prokureur, you know, he wasn't one of them necessarily. Maybe they were at that stage as well. We don't know. But he comes and he asks Jesus a question, wanting to test Jesus, and that's a big mistake, in case you haven't noticed yet. And he says to Jesus, Teacher, Which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. We spoke about this in sort of the middle of last year, many of you will remember, just coming back to the first commandment. And there we spoke about in the context of sometimes putting the new commandment, the second commandment, above the first commandment. Sometimes we become so committed to loving our neighbor, so committed to being nice to the people around us, doing what the people around us are going to enjoy, that we actually stop loving God in the process. And in the middle of the year, God just came and just helped us just refocus around that a little bit. That the first commandment, the great commandment, is not love your neighbor. The first and great commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart. And out of the love for Him, to love our neighbor. And that just helps us to love our neighbor in a godly way. Otherwise, we start loving them in an ungodly way. We start compromising and allowing things which God looks at and He says, there's no ways that I can smile upon that which you're doing. And we do it out of in the name of loving our neighbor. And God's saying, no, love me first and then love the neighbor. And as we love Him first and follow Him first, He teaches us how to love our neighbor in purity and in holiness and to lead them in purity and holiness and righteousness. But that was in the middle of the year. I just sense God brought us back here again because we're going to have a crazy year. I am so incredibly excited for this year. There's so much stuff going on. Not even about the stuff, just what I'm sensing happening in the spirit. We've got first year's camp coming up in just a couple of weeks. Remember, I think you've got some flyers on your chairs. Hand them out. Invite everything that looks like a matric. Moves like an old matric, still listens to you. It's easy to find a matric. I love First Years Camp. Because you go on First Years Camp and you've got this bunch. Anybody here who's just finished matric? You've got this bunch of people and they just listen to what you've said. You look at this bunch of big, starry-eyed, great, passionate young people. But you say, sit down, and they sit down. And then you say, we're going to eat now. And no one asks questions, they go eat. And then this miraculous transformation happens 6 months later. You don't have a matric anymore. You've got a first year. And they listen to nothing. We're going to eat now. Why? Where? I don't like the food. I brought my own. The first year's camp is great. So anything that looks like a matric, sounds like a matric, walks like a matric, invite them to the first year's camp. They've got about another 2 weeks to register. We're going to have planted again in March, we're going to have a whole bunch of souls being saved and people transformed. We're going to be discipling people. We're going to grow together as a family. We're going to plant small groups, even plant some churches throughout this year. We're going to raise up and empower leaders and send Let's Go teams all over the place. A couple of our people are joining some other teams and flying out to India in the week. And I'm off to Pakistan on Tuesday. I'm really excited for that. And before I'm gone, I'll be back again, so don't stress too much. And next month, we've got a team going to Bloemfontein. So maybe you're excited and you want to just take a weekend. I think it's a third weekend in Bloemfontein. Just want to send a whole bunch of people through to Alistair just to go and encourage and bless the church there. So if you're up for that, it's just a weekend trip. But we're going to be doing a whole bunch of really, really cool, exciting stuff. And I mean, that's just on the church level. Then many of us have got really exciting personal stuff going ahead as well. Some of us have just got married. Some of us are going to have children this year. Some of us are getting married this year. Some of us are going to get engaged this year. Amen, ladies. Jade will lay hands on you. And those of you wanting to get married, Laureen and the other married, new married people, if you've been married for Lek, we're going to have a special altar call. For those people who've been married less than 3 weeks, we're going to be laying hands on the ladies on the front and the left here at the end of the service. But there's so much exciting stuff that this year holds before us that we're going to press on into, that we're going to take hold of. And as we do that, I just right at the start of this year, just for all of us, just want to help us, just to drive a stake into the ground. Say, God, in this year, in everything we do, we're going to love you first. You know, this world has got so much stuff that fights for our affections. Fights for our hearts, fights for our heads, fights for our thoughts. It's never clearer than sort of over the festive season we've just had. I don't know if any of you can relate to that. There's just so much stuff fighting for your time. Some of you were so busy doing nothing, you didn't have time to do anything else. But there's so much stuff fighting for our time, fighting for our money, fighting for our thoughts. Before we know it, we've had a week and we haven't even had quiet time. There's just so much stuff fighting and contending for us, for our time, for our heart, for our adoration. And in this year, I'm just sensing God is just wanting us just in a new way, in a powerful way, just to continuously, because it's not a once-off decision, it's a continuous decision to say, God, I'm going to keep the first commandment. It's a commandment I continually fall short of. I don't know if you're like me, but there's a whole bunch of stuff that I catch myself being more into than into God. You know, they come in waves and moments. Sometimes I'll be busy with something and I realize, well, I'm so into this thing that this thing is actually impinging on my time with God. I'm not listening to God now because I'm listening to this thing. No, God don't speak to me now because I'm into this book. God don't speak to me now because I'm into this cricket match. God don't speak to me now because I'm into this or I'm into that thing. And I know that inside of me there's this perpetual wrestling match going on between the desires of the flesh in this world and the holy desire that God's placed inside of me for Him to set a fire inside of my soul. To walk away from everything of this world and just to walk towards Him and say, God, it doesn't matter what it is. I know the world think that's the most amazing, biggest, wildest, craziest thing, but God, You're so much more. God, I'm going to love You with every fiber of my being. Maybe some of you wrestle with that and it's your studies, which become almost as idle in a sense. God, yes, God, I know I should have quiet time. God, I know You spoke to me to go and pray with the person in the room next to me, God. But God, I need to study because I'm writing a test tomorrow. Some of us, it becomes our next paycheck. I don't know why you call it a paycheck. I've never received a paycheck in my life. I've been working for 10 years. I don't know who still gets paychecks. I don't know who still gets checks. Most of us just see that there's a change happening in our bank account, and it's a good change, and we like the change, and the change can continue happening. But we're looking forward towards the next payday. And you know, for some people, that's that guy or the girl. I also want to do a survey one day, maybe not now because none of you are here, but when the students are back, the non-medical students, because they're all holy as well, and do a survey and ask, how many of you are coming to church because you're looking for a husband or a wife? And it's scary, I think, how many people, if we're just honest with ourselves, that is a big driver in our coming to church. Because I'm looking for that right person. And we'll have relationship week later on in the year again. Speak about not maybe finding the right person, but being the right person. You know, that's a good question to ask for those of you who fall into this category that you're sitting here and the reason you're in church is because you're looking who else is in church. But are you the person you're looking for is looking for? Before you start looking for the person, start making yourself attractive to that person. But we'll speak about that in August again when we get to Relationship Week. In the meantime, listen to the past series. The holiday or the weekend or the holiday home, there's all this stuff that contends for our attention. All of this stuff that's fighting for us. And I just sense that right at the beginning of the year, not only for this year, it's like on a happy birthday. You know, people say, may you be blessed in this coming year. And I'm like, but what about the year after that? So it's not only for this year, but almost starting now, I'm sensing God just calling us back to this first commandment. It's interesting, in Mark chapter 10, Jesus is going on the road and a man comes running to Him, kneels before Him and asks Him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? I wonder how you would answer if somebody asked you that question. I think most of us would probably answer totally different to what Jesus answered. We'd answer, don't worry, you don't have to do anything. Christianity is not about doing, it's about being and believing. Don't worry about doing anything, just stop and just believe, that's all it takes. Anyway, Jesus answers him, why do you call me good? What makes you think I'm good? No one is good but one, that's God. In other words, he's challenging him just as to, are you saying I'm God? How are you relating? Are you relating to me just as a good person or as the only one who is good? What is your implication here? You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. He answered and said to him, Teacher, all these things I've kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I love that bit. Jesus looks at this guy and he sees something inside of his heart which is precious and pure and seeking after God. And that moves Jesus. Jesus looks at him and he loves him. And he says to him, one thing you lack. Go your way. Sell whatever you have. Give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross. Follow me. Passages we're reading today aren't necessarily new passages. It's stuff most of us have probably read many times and stuff I've spoken about many times. But I think there's a reason why the well-known passages are well-known. I think there's a reason why we talk about these passages a lot in our modern-day society. But Jesus comes and that passage, if we carried on reading, we'd see that Scripture says that man went away exceedingly sorrowful because he had many possessions. And I wonder if Jesus comes into our lives today, and yes, we all understand we get saved by faith. Through grace, by faith, not of works. It's the gift of God. We can't boast about it, but then any of us who've been following Christ know that the outflow of that is very much good works. Scripture says that God has prepared good works beforehand that we should walk in them. He goes to the church in Laodicea, Revelation chapter 3, the lukewarm church. And he says, remember from where you've fallen, go back and do what? The first works. There's nothing wrong with doing works based out of a place of a love relationship with Christ and overflow out of knowing him. But I wonder if Jesus came into our life, what would be the thing that if he spoke to us about that thing, we would go away exceedingly sorrowful? No, God, you can't be serious about that. God, you're really asking me to give more of my finances, as he spoke to this man. As a matter of fact, this man, he said, I want you to give all of your finances. God, you really want me to give more of my time. God, you really want me to give more of my emotion and get more involved in people. God, you want to give of myself. God, that's probably the hardest bit to give. Often it's easy giving the money and it's easy giving the stuff. It's hard giving ourselves. God, you really want me to spend less time with my wife and my family, God? Earlier years, I used to travel a lot and I loved it. It was just really cool being able to go all over the globe. Now it's a little bit different. Now kind of when you buy that plane ticket and leading up to Tuesday, all of a sudden there's a whole bunch of other stuff involved, but I understand that the biggest danger that I can expose my family to is if I start loving them more than I start loving Jesus. If my daughters don't grow up with an understanding that as much as I love them, as passionate as I am for them, I love God more. And the crazy thing about serving God is it's not an and or. My love for them doesn't have to be less to have my love for God more. But it's just important that when God speaks that we reply. I remember in Angus' testimony, I think he writes it in one of his books, God comes to him and asks him three questions. And I can't remember the first two, but he says they were an easy yes. Angus Bucket, just before his ministry really took off. The third one is, Angus, will you spend less time with your family? He says that's the one year to wrestle with. That's the one year to stop with and really search his heart. And for every one of us, there's probably something or a couple of things like that, that if Jesus was to walk into our life and we were to walk to Jesus, kneel before him and say, God, set a fire inside my soul that I can't contain, that I can't control. And then Jesus says, yes, but that thing. And we go, no, not that thing. Every other thing, yes, God, but that thing is a little bit too close to my heart. This passage is really precious to me because this is the passage that God spoke to me about going into the full-time ministry. Not going to go into the whole story now, but I was busy lecturing and coming towards the end of my studies and my lecturing, and I just felt God say that I mustn't renew my contract as a lecturer and all of that stuff. And I was praying, God, I can't remember what now, where to now. And God just led me to this passage, and I was just reading it kind of as you read scripture, and many of you will relate to this. All of a sudden, it's as if this thing just ripped out and gripped my heart, and God was speaking to me. He said, Philip, will you walk away from what the world is holding before you? This man, scripture calls him a rich young ruler. He had a bunch of money. He had his whole life in front of him. He was a young guy, had all the potential. He had authority. People looked up to him. He was a ruler. Jesus says, are you willing to walk away from all of that and follow me? God came, and this is the passage that God used to just make that final decision to say, okay, yes, now. Wrestled with him that night, and the next day I went and saw the pastors at the church I was at the time. Said, listen, I really believe this is what God is saying, and the rest is history. And some of you sitting here, God's going to give you that message this year. And I'm excited. It's something that I'm feeling that God's wanting to do, is wanting to begin to release people from this church. We've been doing a whole bunch. Just for those of you who didn't know, most of you didn't either. I only picked a couple of weeks ago. In February, we'll have been in Pretoria for 10 years as a church. So Planted will be our 10-year birthday party as well. But I just feel God saying it. Time to begin to stretch out our wings a little bit, enlarge the place of our tent. So I'm going to be trusting God really to raise up full-time ministers, and maybe that's resonating with some of your hearts. Watch the space I'm going to be spending time, and we're just going to be making an effort and just raising up pastors, raising up worship leaders, raising up people who can pioneer and push out the gospel to wherever God would send them. But it comes at a price, and we see the same thing here in Luke chapter 9. Because here Jesus comes and he speaks to an individual. It's important when we study scripture that we just place it in context as well. That when Jesus comes and he says to one individual, I want you to sell everything you have and follow me, that's not an instruction for everybody. Because he would have stopped and he would have said, everybody, if you want to follow me, sell everything you have, give it away and follow me. He speaks to that guy. But then there are a couple of places in scripture where there are instructions to everybody, and we see one of them here in Luke chapter 9. He says to them, all. In other words, this is universal. This applies to you and to me. And he says to them, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. What profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. See, God holds this beautifully sweet invitation to us to life. Spoke about this on Christmas Day. He says, come, everyone who's burdened, everyone who's heavy, come and cast your cares before me. But then he says as well, when you come, I want you to understand that for you to find life, you're going to have to die first. For you to find life, you're going to have to lose the life that this world holds before you. The dreams and the visions that are not of me, that I haven't placed inside of them. The many dreams in our hearts that are not of God. And we need to allow God to strip them away. There are dreams in our heart that God sovereignly, when we were little kids, way before we knew him, he placed a dream in our heart. So we need to trust him to show us which are which. We can't just say, well, I got saved then, so any dream before then can't be of God. We need to realize God's hand has been upon our life all along. But he says, if you want to follow me, we need to die. We mustn't find the next book, Christian book, which says, become a better me. Burn that book. If there is a book like that, I don't even know. There's just a lot of that message going around. Be a better you in 30 days. Yes, you want to be a better you in 30 days? Well, strive to become less of you and more like Jesus. Jesus doesn't say it. You must fulfill yourself, your dreams, your desires, become everything you wanted to be. He says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him take up his cross daily. Follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. Something that makes the new birth so special is dying to the old self and the new self coming alive when Jesus begins to breathe his life inside of us. Galatians 2 verse 20 I believe should be the motto of every believer. Sort of the life credo that we should all meditate. If you haven't memorized any scriptures in your life, you're looking for a good scripture to memorize for this week, here's a brilliant place to start. Galatians 2 verse 20. It's the central scripture of the whole Bible. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me, gave himself for me. The Apostle Paul's got this beautiful, beautiful relationship with God, but he understands that he came to that relationship with God not by fighting for who Paul is, but for walking away from the pride of Paul and fighting for who Jesus is. And he expands on that. He doesn't say just, I've been crucified with Christ, it's no longer I who live. He gives us a little bit of insight into that in Philippians 3, and he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Maybe just rewind a little bit in the verses before this. He's saying that in the world, he's had it all. In the eyes of the Jewish people, kind of, he's the perfect blue-eyed little boy. He's got everything that the perfect Jewish boy was meant to have. By law, he was, you know, the poster boy for Judaism. And he says, all of that, everything that this world esteems, I have counted lost for Christ, lost for Christ. Yet indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ, be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Beautiful, beautiful passage that I believe God's holding before us, that he's inviting us to life, to a place of authority, to a place where we're going to see him work incredible miracles through our hands. The most powerful miracle of that is a sinner coming to salvation. Every other miracle on this earth is temporary and will pass. That is the only eternal miracle, a miracle of one unbeliever coming to know Christ. And God's wanting to work that miracle through us over and over and over and over. And this year, I'm just expecting God to do the most incredible things. Just release us to a place of authority, not because we're so special, but because he's waiting and seeking for a church. I'm not talking about a church with an orange logo on. I'm talking about a church of people of God standing up and saying yes to his kingdom coming. Over December, I spoke about the fact that as a church, we've done Church Universal. We've done pretty good if we look at the Lord's Prayer. We've done pretty good at the Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. But the last 10 years or so, you know, that bit we get that. God is holy. God is righteous. God must be magnified. God must be glorified. We can fill stadiums around the glory of God. And just in the last week, some good friends of ours in America did that. 60,000 young people coming together about the glory of God, the greatness of God, the majesty of God. And what I love about what God's doing is the last 10 years, there's been a lot of that going on in church, and there should be. And that should remain. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I think God's just looking for a church to begin to stand up and to say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And there's a whole bunch, anybody around us notice that there's a whole bunch of stuff that isn't thy will being done. You don't have to go and dig too far to find thy will not being done. God's beginning to wait, looking for a church and say, come God, stand up. I think God wants to be serious with the church. He wants to be serious about this. The church is standing up and saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And God's going to say to that church, well, if you're serious about that, I'm going to give you what you need to accomplish that. The authority, the inheritance, all of that stuff that comes with that, it's for the purpose of thy will being done, thy kingdom coming on this earth as it is in heaven. And there's going to be some moving and shaking in this city and in this nation as the church begins to say yes to that. So excited about the fact that just in the last couple of months, had a couple of meetings, or one meeting so far, a couple more scheduled with the executive mayor where he's saying it. You know, I don't want all my counselors and everybody else in the room. It's the mayor, one of his guys, and five church leaders at the last meeting. And he's saying, what can we do to change and to bring about change in the city around the gospel of Jesus Christ? And he's saying to the church, if the church doesn't stand up in the city, we're in a problem. I'm excited about that stirring that's happening throughout the city. And it's because there's a people beginning to stand up and beginning to say, yes, God, we're serious. But then God is saying, if you're really serious, this is what it means for us to be serious. As we go into 2013, I really believe God's wanting us to make a peace with the fact that there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff in our life that he wants us to walk away from. There's going to be stuff that's not bad necessarily, stuff that God even gave us, stuff that's a blessing from God, and God's going to say, I want you to count that as a loss for the sake of knowing me. And for this year, I've got, for myself personally, just one simple prayer at the moment. There's a whole stack of stuff that I'm wanting to happen. A gazillion dreams going on in my head and prayers that I'm praying. But there's sort of one overarching thing right at the center that I'm wanting all of us just to really stir in our hearts. And it's just one little phrase here, verse 10 of Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. God just been stirring in my heart. And one of the things I love just about being in church is I know if God's stirring it in my heart, he's stirring it in your heart, because that's the way God works. He speaks to the church. I just have the privilege sometimes of just sharing a little bit and placing in context what God is telling you as an individual. There's just stirring inside of me, and I hope it's in all of us, that at the end of the year, come what may, we'll be able to look back and say one thing: well, at least we know God more. Through the thick, through the thin, through the good, through the bad, God, I want to know you. I want to know God and the power of his resurrection. That's my prayer at the moment, just a few words. To know him and the power of his resurrection. Of course, it's important we don't stop there. It carries on. And the fellowship of his sufferings. It's one package. Now, I'm not praying to know the fellowship of his sufferings. I believe God understands it's included, you know. Buy one, get one free. I'm not going to complain when I get to the till and the sufferings aren't in the bag. But at the same time, I understand that that's going to be part of it. But it's not a suffering that's going to drive us to our knees and a suffering that's going to make us lose hope. And that's a weird thing about suffering in Christ. It stirs hope. It stirs life. It stirs joy. It's a type of suffering where you sit there and you smile and you say, just like the Apostle Paul did, I want to thank God that he has counted me worthy to suffer for his name. And you look at that and you think, wow, I wish everybody else could suffer like this, because it's the coolest thing on the face of the planet. Because in it, I know God and the power of his resurrection. To know him. To really know him. I'm going to ask the ushers to pass the offering baskets around. Sorry, I lied. We've done that already. I don't know why that's stuck in my head. Maybe God wants somebody to give more money. But the communion elements. And this evening, or this afternoon, I want us to take communion just around this thing a little bit. And obviously, it's a personal decision. Obviously, it's not something that somebody can make for you and pray for you. But it's a prayer. I had a prayer, a similar prayer on Christmas Day for those who were here. Many of the same scriptures as well. There I prayed it a little bit more blatantly, because just the provocation of all the Christmas stuff was just stirring inside of me. And I just prayed that God would help us die. Because we need to die so we can get his life. And we just prayed, God, teach me to die, because dying is where it's at. But this afternoon I want us to, in a similar fashion, just as we take communion, we say, God, help me to come to this place. Because God, we're probably not all there right now. God, if we look at the first commandment, there are a whole bunch of places where we're falling short. each one of us. I know I am. Maybe you're even more holy than the holiest around us, and you've got that right. You love God with all your heart, soul, and mind at all times above everything else. And please keep praying for us, for the rest of us. But for the rest of us sinners, just break bread around this, about the fact that it's not about my doing. I don't inherit eternal life by my doing. I inherit it as a gift. It's an inheritance. But God, this year, we want to covenant with you about counting loss the things of this world. Walking away from them. And some of you got no clue what you're praying now, and that's fine. 6 months down the line, you're going to be wrestling with God, and God's going to say, you asked for this. And it's going to be beautiful. But at the same time, for us to go where God's leading us, it's going to cost us something. And on that, I just really want to make a plea with all of you. When it comes to our prayer meetings, when it comes to Planted, when it comes to those moments where we know God is there, when we know He speaks, make a priority commitment to be there. Don't not be there when God is moving. For your own sake and for us as a family, we need to be there where God is at, where God is speaking, where God is moving. If we want to go there where He's going, He's looking for a people who are saying, God, we're serious. And it's going to cost us a whole bunch, but we're going to ride that storm, and it's going to be like this big massive wave, and it's going to be the most incredible time ever. And the rest of the world's going to look and say, are you stupid? You're really giving up your career for this? And he's saying, definitely. And you're going to look back and say, you're not giving up your career for this? You're carrying on with a mundane life when God's called you to this? To embrace all of that which God has for us. In Revelation chapter 3, is a beautiful passage which I want us to read in closing. It's a church I was speaking about earlier, the lukewarm church, the church in Laodicea. And I don't believe we're lukewarm, and God's speaking to you about being lukewarm, and be that as it may, but I don't sense that what he's stirring in our hearts. I just sense he's stirring in our hearts, just a commitment for this year to really pursue him. Not pursue the things of the world, not even pursue the books or the this or the that, which have a Christian label on, but pursue him as a person. And if we can have that next slide up there. In Revelation 3, Jesus comes to this lukewarm church, and it's interesting, it's the only church where he's outside. And he stands at the door and he knocks. Anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. And we speak about that a lot, and that's really cool, that if we let God, and God's going to come and we're going to eat with God, that's really amazing. But this next bit we need to get. Watch this. Verse 21, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. I can't think of any better invitation in this whole earth than Jesus saying, I want you to come and sit on my throne. And then we read the next chapter, which is Revelation chapter 4. You know what Revelation chapter 4 is all about? The throne. It tells us what that throne looks like. Go home and read it. You've got angels swooping around all over the place, bowing before God. 10,000 times 10,000. For those of you who aren't good at maths, that's 100 million. For those of you who've got no clue what that means, it's a lot. 100 million angels crying day and night, worthy is the Lamb. There's just this incredible, most amazing picture of Jesus sitting on the throne. But just before that, Jesus says, you want to come and sit on this throne with me? I don't know about you, but I can't think of anything on this earth which to the rational mind should inhibit us. And that's what Paul got. Paul got that the suffering of this present age were temporary, but they're working in him far more exceeding weight of glory, something that's eternal. I think something we're going to be speaking about this year quite a bit, I just have a sense in my spirit, is about the fact that God calls us campers, pilgrims, sojourners, people living in tents. On this earth for 70 years, it's just like a really small fraction of our time. We're the engineers. Any engineers here? Three of you. You guys will get this. The rest of you are help. You know when you do division, you've got a number at the top and a number at the bottom. Do you remember that? 3 smarties at the top and 10 smarties at the bottom. The bigger the number at the bottom becomes, the smaller the answer. So if I've got 10 smarties and I've got divided by 10 children, they each get 1 smartie. If I've got 10 smarties, I've got divided by 100 children, they each get a little piece of a smartie. If I've got 10 smarties, I've got divided by 1,000 children, they each get a much smaller piece of the smartie. So much so that mathematically says that if that bottom little piece comes close to infinity, eternity, they each get exactly equal to 0. How long is your time here on earth? Well, 70 years, 80 years, 90 years, 100 years divided by eternity, naught. You live on this earth for 0. God says this 0 is going to shape so much of eternity. That places 0 in context, doesn't it? And that's the invitation which God's holding before us as a church. He's saying, starting now, the great thing about a new year is it's a clean slate in our minds. Nothing really changes except in our minds. It's a new season. It's a clean slate. And we can stop and we can say, God, for 2013 and beyond. And I think more than anything else, I pray this afternoon is, God, not teach me to lose and to suffer loss. God, I want to know you. God, I want to get the first commandment right. I want to love you, God, with everything inside of me. And God, to know you is to love you. I can't know you and not love you. I know, God, that the more I know you, the more I'm going to love you. So the key to getting the first commandment right is just to know him more. Can we stand? I'm going to ask the band to come up as well and just get themselves ready. I just want us each, just in our own words even, just between you and God, you know what God is saying to you about this year. You know what those things are that sometimes inhibit your love for God. You know where you're at. You know it. What God's speaking to you about. You know when God says, take up your cross, not once off, daily. For each one of us, it's different. Different areas, different times of our lives, different seasons of our lives. I get that. But I know the message is to all of us. It's just the detail that changes. But just between you and God, just take a couple of moments and on your own time, when you're done, just covenant with God. What does that mean? It means, God, I can't really do anything about this, but you can and you have. So much so that you died on the cross and your body was broken. And my eating, this just reminds me of that. And your blood was shed to cleanse me and to wash me because my blood wasn't good enough. So God, as we covenant, all I'm saying, God, is I'm saying yes to what you want to do through your power in me. God, I'm yielding to your work and willing to obey just a couple of steps of obedience that you lead me in so that your power may shine through me, God, so that this nation may be different. You know, one of the things that I'm praying for is that this year we'll finally get this right, that every single one of us in this church will be committed to the process of personal discipleship. Every single one of us will make it our life's mission to lead other people to Jesus. All of us will get that right. God, whatever it is that you're speaking to me about, your cross is sufficient. I'm willing to say yes as you lead me. So just take a couple of moments, just in your own words, just between you and God. And then we're going to sing that last chorus again as a prayer that God this year would set a fire inside of us. Fire that we can't contain. Not that we can't, we don't want to contain it, even if we could. Fire you can't control because the Spirit of God just moves so powerfully. That's my prayer, God, to know him and the power of his resurrection. In your own time, just go ahead. and prayed at the beginning. That's our prayer again this afternoon, and we want more of you, Lord. To know you, Lord Jesus, the power of your resurrection. As we head into this year, God, we pray that, God, right now you would set that fire inside our soul. We can't contain and we can't control. Come and stir up inside of us, Jesus, a passion for you, to know you, your name, your glory, Lord God. Everything that we do, while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, maybe you here this afternoon, and right now you feel so far away from God in your life. You want to serve Jesus, and you know kind of that there's so much more. And tonight you just want to surrender and say yes to Jesus. Maybe you've been following him for a long time, but over the holiday or wherever, over a while, you've drifted away from him. Tonight, you want to come back to him. Maybe you've never followed him, but tonight there's a stirring in your heart to say, I want to sit on that throne with that Jesus. I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. I want to believe and receive the fact that he died for my sin, so that I could be washed and cleansed. While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, I'm going to ask if that's you. It'll be my incredible privilege to pray with you. If you, wherever you are standing, could you just slip up your hand, just raise your hand. It's an indication to know who I'm praying for. Is anyone like that today? You want to give your life to Jesus? Hands going up all over. Thank you for that. Nothing to be embarrassed or ashamed about. It's just the best thing that can happen this side of eternity. Remember that day I made this decision. Never forget that day in my life. Best day of my life. I met Jesus. Maybe there's somebody else. Lord, you want to raise your hand. You haven't yet. You want to say, tonight I want to meet Jesus, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. Is anyone else? You haven't raised your hand yet, but you still want to just slip up your hand. I want to pray with you. Those of you who've raised your hands, I'm going to ask you to do something really bold. It's going to feel like you're dying a thousand deaths, and that's sort of part of the point. You need to walk away from the life you've had and receive a new life. So I'm going to ask you, if you've raised your hand, don't just want to come and stand right in the front here with me. I want to pray with you. Just step out and so I'm going to meet this Jesus. I'm going to sit on that throne. And then to anybody else, that maybe you raised your hand, but you didn't quite have the courage to come to the front because you didn't want to be the only one. You didn't have your hand. But right now you're sitting at the back and you say, man, I so wish I was the front. I need to sit on that throne. That throne that Jesus is calling me to. I need to be there. Is anyone else who still wants to come forward? Before we pray with these people, we'll wait. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? I'm going to pray a very simple prayer. It's a powerful prayer, but it's a simple prayer because it's an easy prayer. I'm going to ask you just to pray after me and just repeat after me as we just give our lives to Jesus. Is that okay? Can we do that? Can look up. Can we do that? Let's pray. I'm going to ask the rest of the congregation just all to pray together as well. Lord Jesus, thank you. Thank you, God, that despite my sin, despite my mess ups, my pride, you still love me. You love me so much that you died for me to have life and life in abundance. Today I say yes. I want to know you and the power of your resurrection. Jesus, I know you are the Son of God. And I invite you into my life. come and set a fire inside my soul. Take my hand and lead me. Lead me in the way you have prepared. Because I want to follow you. I don't want to walk after my own ways anymore. I want to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you from the bottom of my heart that I am your child and forever will be. We're so excited with you.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria. There is no one like